Dr. Franklin, the floor is yours. You can start off by addressing that.
Thank you very much.
How many minutes?
He has 30 minutes. Or if his report goes a little longer, it's just going to go a little longer, and we will extend it and start public comment when he finishes. But usually he does within 30 minutes. So, hey, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I mentioned to Ted this morning about the way I actually do my reports. I actually just handwrite them, and I just kind of go from my handwritten notes. So I didn't have anything to submit. I'm happy to, as I told Ted this morning, to go over each of the points that I raise in a manner in which it's easily understood. And if notes need to be taken, then notes can be taken. But I would prefer, as I'm doing now, to provide the report. I'm actually making a recording, as I'm sure is going on here, for my particular files here, as well as my hard copy. Excuse me. So with that, I'll start on the top of the agenda. On October the 4th, I don't know if it was a hip-hop song or a rap song, with expletives occurred at 10 o'clock a.m. I think that was on a Monday morning. I was listening to the radio. It had disgusting, offensive remarks. It even had the N-word. Early indications are of a hack. I've instructed Markeisha and Dakota. They're currently investigating the incident with the company on the possibility of a backdoor in terms of into our automation system. We're exploring alternative access to the information system. David Bays called me on Friday to give me his feedback in terms of how he thought the situation might have occurred. Excuse me. I spoke directly to Dakota, who is our point person on all things automation. Dakota indicated to me that he did not load that particular song in question. He is very confident of that. I have no reason to believe that he accidentally or he purposefully loaded that song. The automation system is comprised of 2,500 songs that were purchased. These are radio friendly songs that were purchased some years back, maybe 6 months ago. I don't know. David Bays on Friday indicated to me that there were no hip hop or rap songs as part of the collection, that these are songs that were from the 60s, 70s, 80s, probably mid 90s. They're all radio funny in turn radio friendly. Therefore, that particular rap song or hip hop song that got into rotation on a Monday morning is at this particular point very suspicious. Dakota is calling the company, which is headquartered in Europe, to try to determine how there might be backdoor access to our system. Markeisha is doing also. We're compiling a report to submit to National office, to John at the national office per his directive, so that it becomes part of the record in terms of how we are moving to at least try to answer how this happened. We do know that there are individuals who have access to the system other than Dakota. Those individuals include myself, Markeisha, Otis, John, and I believe Maverick. In terms of having access to insert information into the playlist. So what we're working on now is to streamline the number of individuals who have access to the system so that Dakota will be the primary point person for assuring that no such graphic, lyrical files get into our particular playlist. We are still currently concluding our, doing our investigation. I hope to have that investigation completed, hopefully as soon as Markeisha and Dakota provide me the information so that we can prevent this from happening again. It's most unfortunate it happened during the middle of our, actually on a Monday morning, which should have never happened. If it was a mistake, it's a tragic mistake. If it's purposeful, it was really, really unfortunate if it was done deliberately. But I have no evidence that it was done deliberately. I have no evidence other than it played, and we're trying to find out how it got into the 2,500 musical rotations that we currently play, which features music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And the only way, according to David Bays, that it could have gotten into the playlist was it would have had to have been manually inserted. The next thing on my agenda, the latter part of September, I met with the programmers. We met on a Wednesday evening and on a Saturday morning. Yes. We talked about the upcoming membership drive, which we're fully into. Also talked about some of the objections, not objections, but certainly my vision. Talking, wanted to hear from them in terms of some of their priorities and concerns. Talked about our membership goals. Talked about, shared with them some of the things I hope to do in terms of helping them develop professionally from a programming standpoint. And I thought it was a good meeting. And I thought in terms of just being able to hear from the general manager, to in some instance see the general manager and get feedback from me directly on my priorities in terms of the programming and how I wanted to help them to be better programmers and, to encourage them that, as I've said before, radio is a privilege and not a right. And I think from the feedback I've gotten from the programmers, we do share something in common, and that's passion for what they do and what they've been doing. And I think that for the most part, from a programming standpoint, we're kindred spirit. If you've been listening, you have probably have heard a breast cancer awareness spot that was produced by Andrew Ferguson. He did a very good job. He wrote the script. He voiced it. He put a music trail underneath it. So it's been running because, as we know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So it was well produced and it's currently airing on the station. It'll air until the end of October. Also forthcoming will be a promo that Andrew Ferguson will produce. It will be on Climate Connections. It will be a spot promoting the upcoming series that'll be airing on our radio station in November. Staying along the lines of programming, you may also have heard Amy Goodman and Robin Lewis. Their fundraiser spots have been rotating throughout the morning and during the afternoon and during the overnight. The crew at Democracy Now!, they work well with Amy and Robin in terms of recording those particular spots. They downloaded those spots to Dakota, and Dakota has interspersed those particular spots throughout our broadcast day. I thought they were well done, considering we're restricted in terms of our production capacity here. It was done by phone, but I thought it was well done in terms of the limitations that we currently encounter. From a development opportunity, I sent to all KPFT performer, programmers, and staff a fellowship opportunity from the Association of Independent Reporters, AIR. It's an opportunity for our programmers to compete for a fellowship that offers them a stipend as well as training on aspects of production, programming. And I think it's a great opportunity for any of the programmers who fortunately get selected. It's really good in terms of developing their particular skills and their ability to really become even better programmers going forward. It's those type of opportunities, development opportunities that I've been searching for our volunteers as well as our full-time staff, and I'll continue to do so and send those out to individuals on the programming and volunteer staff. I spoke with Madam Chair, a woman about the town hall. I'll reiterate some of the points I've already raised about our desire to move forward on the town hall. I've originally spoken with PK, and I'd mentioned also to Ted that I do want to have a town hall, preferably in a safe venue, perhaps maybe in February, with the opportunity to partner or collaborate with Houston Media Service, if that's possible. But at this particular point in time, I do not want to reinvent the wheel, because PK has a template already in place that she was planning on launching for a town hall some years earlier, but COVID sidelined that particular opportunity. So we'll revisit myself and Ted and PK, that particular outline, fine tune it, and try to set something in terms of a town hall, possibly, hopefully, in February of 2022, I'm sorry. I have reached out to Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee's office about having her participate in a live telephone conversation interview, live to tape interview with myself about pertinent issues that are impacting our community. I got a very encouraging call today. They're very interested, and I will continue to pursue that particular opportunity when it presents itself. I think it'll be a great opportunity in terms of hearing from our Congresswoman. And this will also, in my view, set the opportunity down the road to have her potentially participate in some type of town hall forum down the road. Right now, though, the first thing will be to get her to agree with this particular interview segment, which will be probably about 10 minutes long, perhaps on a monthly basis, where she will call in and we'll do the interview, and then we will get out of it. But right now, it's something that her office is interested in pursuing, and I'll continue to pursue that until it comes to fruition. Continuing regarding the outreach regarding programming, I've reached out to WPFW about possibly airing one of their programs, Suzanne Malvo. Also, I've reached out to KPFA about one of their programs, Eco Justice Radio, that they say is very well received there. I'm waiting to hear back from both of those. I've actually heard from KPFA, and I'm waiting to hear from their person about how we download that particular program, how Dakota will eventually download it and load it onto our system. I've also communicated with Native One, which is a Native American programming service out of Alaska, about programming for KPFT, free programming. I explained to them that we didn't have money to pay, that we were no longer a CPB qualified station. So we applied, and I believe we applied as a hardship case in terms of some of the financial challenges that we are under budgetarily. So they are reviewing their hardship application, and if approved, we will then have an opportunity to review some of their program offerings. Some of those offerings that look pretty interesting to me, one program is called Unreserved. It's a one-hour weekly radio space for Indigenous community culture and conservation. It's produced by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Another one that I'm looking at is Reclaimed. It's a weekly hour-long music program educating listeners about Indigenous cultures through the lens of the modern Native American scene. That's two. Another special presentation, I spoke with a producer, an Asian American producer out of New York, who has produced programming for WBAI. She is presently working on a radio play that she's writing called COVID Crime. It's a 1-hour focus on anti-Asian hate, and it makes a call to Asians to break stereotypes of Asian Americans as passive, materialistic, and isolated individuals. So that I'm hoping to be able to look at and review and see if there's a space on our particular grid for that that type of program. It's a well-produced program based upon her her background as a producer for programming at WBAI and other Pacifica stations. With respect to the membership drive, the figure totals that I have as of 1:30 today provided by Robin, who I do agree has done a really, really good job with the membership drive. The current active members, we have 2,587. We have a total as of 1:30 p.m. today, October 13th, of $30,743. That is 31% of the goal. There's 31% of our $100,000 goal. We are slightly behind the pace that we need to have. The track that we need to be on percentage-wise, total-wise, I'm sorry, is $35,640. So we're about $5,640 behind that particular pace presently, and that was as of 1:30 today. Mo is scheduled to be in town this week. According to Mo, he was going to be in town this week. He has started to pack up technical equipment over at the station. He is preserving what can be preserved, and he's trashing what can't be salvaged. That particular equipment will be transported to a secure storage facility. Markeisha, Robin, and some of their volunteers have been doing a good job packing up and inventorying the office equipment for pickup and delivery to a storage facility. Markeisha is currently finalizing the content for the storage. I'm sorry, she's finalizing the contract for the storage facility that was donated to the station by a major donor who wants to remain anonymous. I have bantered about the possibility of inviting those who might be interested. And it's not an exercise. It's an exercise, but it's a necessary exercise, I believe, in a strategic plan drafting in terms of as we look forward 5-10 years where we like to be as a station. As we are at some point going to get into the new building, we need to start looking at how as a board and how as management volunteering, how we move forward, how we want to move forward, what are going to be our priorities. So I invite those who may be interested in contacting me. And I do have like a really, really rough draft of such a strategic plan that I'm bringing from my last university, which I think is, would be useful in terms of, just providing a blueprint, so that, we look down the road 5-10 years ago, we'll have a plan going forward. 7:52, and I'll stop here and hopefully have some questions from you guys.
Adriana?
Nancy on
the
stack.
Susie
to the stack.
Adriana, go ahead.
And Bill for the stack too.
Thank you, Dr. Franklin. I'm really worried about what happened at the station, and I have 3 questions, and I will ask the questions and you can answer the way that you want it. First of all, when you expect the result from the investigation, who bought the 2,500 songs, you say, package, and when? And the third one is, was there a report made to the police to keep the record of not being KPFD we did it. That will allow the foundation to avoid the fines in case that the FCC wants to, you know, fine us. Is any report done?
The third point is collecting the information per our legal people, John, is to provide it to John, who has a repository in terms of having this type of information on hand. So once we gather the information, and I don't think it's going to be that much longer, but we're dealing with a company that's in Europe. So there's a time lag. So we hope to be able to get, you know, the information that we need compiled, and then we will provide that information along with the song in question as part of the report to John there in our compliance office at Pacifica. Your point regarding the 2,500, I believe those songs, that collection was purchased, I think maybe earlier, or before my tenure, I think maybe 6 months ago. I'm not for sure. I think that's a good question. I'll ask Markeisha. She would be able to tell us definitively, but I'm sure this music was purchased. The collection was purchased, shortly after, or maybe before we got the new system that we currently, the new automation system. And I'm sorry, what was your first question?
Adriana.
What was your first question? I'm sorry. I can't recall.
I don't remember. Adriana.
About information to give to the police.
Yes. I mean, the point is, I want to know who bought that package and all that information, because that maybe is something in there. And that's why I was asking if you know when and who bought that package. And right. Once that we have the report, like you said, I mean, obviously we need to make, this need to be investigated. We were attacked before in one of our meetings. We have an attack and we have proofs of that. But I think that this must be something similar. That's why I want to know who bought the package and when, because must be some confirmation or not from there. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. I can tell you that I can get the information regarding, I know it was purchased at least a year ago, but I can get you more definitive information from Markeisha, because it was purchased during the tenure of Mr. Bays.
Okay, was Mr. Bays was the general manager? That's what you say. Okay, thank you,
Nancy.
Thank you. I'd like to urge Dr. Franklin not to delay the town hall meeting, because we're way overdue in compliance of having, I mean, the last one was 2018, so we really should do one. And I don't think we should be planning for a in-person town hall meeting, not at this point. And I think we should try to do Zoom live on the air. We did our first attempt during the candidate forum, and it had a lot of snags in it and a lot of weird noises, but I mean, Otis was trying, and I think we should try to get that available, because we don't know how long we're going to be out of a building. And the other thing is, did we get any new members so far in this fund drive, if Robin told you? Or
I didn't get that information.
Okay.
But I will, she sends out a link that provides all that information. So I will ask her to send me that link, and I'll forward it to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Very welcome.
Susie.
Dr. Franklin, thank you. It seems like you are doing, some positive things for the station. My question is, I know you had, said that you were, interested or working on including the indigenous group. Well, within the indigenous group are Mexican, Latinos, and Hispanics. So what programming do you plan, or do you have anything in your plans to do outreach in those areas?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Mr. Willie's, I was speaking with him in Washington, D.C. today. He was with his daughter who is doing better. And I mentioned to him a proposal that I was interested in having him to give me some feedback on. And that particular proposal would be to work with him and reach out to Mexican, Latino newspapers and have almost a consortium to come together and be a part of what he's currently doing, providing an outreach opportunity to have those particular voices be a part of what he's doing, cross-promoting what they're doing in their communities, utilizing our big voice as a radio station to promote those particular communities. So as of today, Mr. Willie's is going to get me back by this weekend some feedback on my proposal. And then he is going to reach out to some of our current programmers from those particular communities for their input. And then we're going to move forward on making this happen. So the answer affirmatively is yes. We're moving on that as of today.
Okay. I really, really appreciate that. And I think you will be pleasantly surprised that if you reach out to the communities, then they'll respond. And if they respond, then maybe we can have more money and more membership within the Hispanic community. So do you plan on reaching out? I know you said he was in D.C. Do you plan on reaching out to any of the organizations or communities here in the Houston area?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And Mr. Willie's was in, just for the record, I think he was in D.C. because his daughter has been ill.
It's a move there.
Yeah. Pardon?
I said he hasn't moved there.
No, right. He's just there. I know that just, that's why he's there. So I'm dealing with our local programmers here on the ground, and Mr. Willie's is one who will actually connect me with other programmers right here in Houston.
Okay. Have you thought about reaching out to LULAC or any of those communities that have a large membership?
No, but if I would be appreciative of if you are able to email me some contact information and I'll do so forthwith.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that, and I will try to work on that and send that to you, sir.
Thank you. And can I get back in contact with you after I receive it for some follow up questions if I have them?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. It is now 8:01. But is there any other questions for Dr. Frank?
Michael,
Bill's on the
stack. Oh, okay. Can we come back to Dr. after?
Okay, we're going into a public comment. I'll come back to your questions for Dr. Franklin at 8:30. Thank you for suggesting that, Dwayne. Public comment. It's 8:01. Paula, what you see?
Captain Tom.
Thank you, Paula, Madam Chair. Dr. Franklin, I appreciate you addressing the issue on the unfortunate song that was played on the air, KPFT. I was alerted by Mike Lewis, and he alerted me, and then I immediately contacted you. Do you remember that conversation?
I absolutely do, and I immediately contacted you once I got your phone message. But, yes, I did get that, yes.
Yes, sir. But I appreciate you addressing this issue, and I hope that this investigation does not conflict with our license, and KPFT stays on the air. And I will do everything to support you and help you if you need so. Also, this foul language is uncalled for. It's not necessary. It's trashy. It brings down the station, and we don't need that. We don't need that at all. So the programming is going to have to be overlooked with a, you know, professional programmer. I would like to volunteer if you need my help to oversee programming. Okay?
I appreciate the offer, but let me assure you that the lyrics that I actually heard in real time. So it wasn't like I got it from a third party. I was sitting in my kitchen and I heard it, and I was just discussing, repugnant, repulsive. And when I heard it, I immediately called Dakota. I did speak to our IED about this issue. I did speak with John, our contact person. And what we're doing now is aggressively looking for investigating what happened so that we can get this information on file with him in terms of how we address this situation. And that will be part of our particular filing, record keeping, so that the FCC can actually review what we did and how we actually address this situation so that it doesn't occur anymore. But again, professional hackers can hack just about any system. We just have to make sure that we are even more diligent in terms of how we close those back doors that potentially get into our system.
Madam Chair, point of order.
Yes, Dwayne.
I've been around a little too long, but I have to implore that this is public comments and not public questions. So it is not proper for the GM or any of the members of the body to respond to any comments being made or questions being asked by the public at this point. It's their opportunity to speak of the issues, concerns, and observations that they make, but not questions.
I was going to say that, but since Dr. Franklin was brand new, I didn't want to, I'm real stickler about interrupting people. So I was going to wait until he finished and explain, and we are, and Captain Tom, you know, not to ask questions in public comment. I just said that we would go back to Dr. Franklin after public comment. So. Please remember, and I just put in the chat, public comment is for y'all to make a statement, not to ask questions. If you ask a question, you're asking a question in a statement. We're not supposed to answer it. We're just supposed to be taking notes.
That's right.
So,
Chair, I apologize to the body, and I will relinquish my time. Thank you, Dr. Franklin, for your reply.
Okay.
I'm done. Thank you.
At this time, I don't see anyone else in the public with their hands up.
All right. In the public.
Well, who is caller one in use? Who is caller one? Because I'm not sure who you are. If you are public or if you are a member. Caller one in use? Caller one in user?
Is that me?
Who's called in user one?
I don't know if that's me. I can't see what you're seeing. I'm on by phone.
Are you public or are you a board member?
I'm a member of the public.
Okay. Go ahead and speak, please.
Okay. So, hello and good night to everyone. I wanted to remind folks that you have until 10:59 Central to make a request for a ballot. If you do not have your ballot or cannot find your ballot, you have until 10:59 tonight Central. You go to pacifica.elections.org, and then you have until 10:59 on Friday to cast your vote. And you are electing people who are going to be having a strong voice in what happens at the station. for the next 3 years, and some of them will be going to the national board, and to urge folks to choose people who are capable of working collaboratively, who are inclusive, who are conscious of the effects of their words and their deeds, and who will uplift the communities of color in Houston as an underserved and literally underserved. That's why KPFT lost some CPB qualification some years ago. And in these times, at this point, on what, 2 days? I know, was it yesterday? Was George Floyd's birthday? So this is a new civil rights movement, if you will, that kicked off with the murder of George Floyd. And I know for some people, they're tired hearing about, you know, poor people, brown people, black people. There's no such thing as too much justice. And there's so much to be corrected. So whether you celebrate it or acknowledge Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday or on Tuesday, or you do it every day of every year, there is no such thing as too much justice. And if you're not committed to justice for communities of color, I say you're not committed to justice. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. The next person I see, is that Akua? A-K-U-A, Akua? Akea?
Akua.
Akua, thank you for correcting me. Go ahead and speak, Akua. Akua, excuse me.
R6.
Okay, I'm asking you to unmute, Akua. Please speak.
Star six.
Okay, moving on. Let's go. I don't see any other hands up, Madam Chair, for public comments. Yeah,
Chair.
I don't see any other hands up, Madam Chair, for public comments.
Chair.
She must have stepped away for a second.
Oh, well, Paula, there's a chat or something from Akua saying she's muted. Could you instruct her how to unmute herself? Because she has her hand up.
Well, she needs to star 69 if she's on the phone or if she's on her computer, just hit unmute.
She may be
star 69. Let's see.
I think it's star 6 on Zoom.
What is it? Star what?
Star 6 to mute or unmute.
I don't know. Star 6.
And while we're waiting on her, Paula, it's the members who have spoken may not be aware that they could have spoken for a little longer since we do have 20 minutes remaining. So if the two previous speakers want to come back, they should have the right to.
Or let Dr. Franklin continue.
Well, no, we'll do that after.
Well, she's not on the phone. She's actually on her computer. So only thing she has to do is just hit the unmute button.
You see her name?
Yeah.
She's been on a number of Zooms, so she should be able to navigate herself through Zoom. It's not our first rodeo.
Does somebody have her phone number?
I don't know, but I'm not calling anyone, so we're going to move on.
Okay. Yeah, just my point, since we have two chairs here. If the two previous speakers have additional comments, would you allow them to make them? And the cook can chime in whenever she unmutes herself.
Madam Chair, you want to go ahead? Because I don't see any other hands up.
She says she hit unmute. Something going on with her computer.
Well, yeah, probably. Well, she's unmute now. Well,
just no, speaking to the mic. Huh?
Yeah. Turn up your mic.
Right.
Akua is still muted.
Y'all told me she was unmuted.
Maybe Paula can unmute her since she's terminated.
She's not muted.
Akua, if you can hear your computer, you have me on the mute. Akua.
She was unmuted, and I muted her.
You need to turn up your microphone.
Yeah, because she was definitely unmuted.
Yeah, you need to turn up your microphone.
Well, if you just look in the controls now, she's muted.
She's unmuted now. She is unmuted. So she needs to speak.
This is caller user number one, I think. I just got a message that we were muted.
Okay, Madam Chair, can we move on?
Yes, we can. Does anyone else want to speak?
I would like to make an additional public comment if there's, since there's time.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So I'm looking forward. I don't get to listen to KPFT quite as much as I used to, just because of issues with my internet connection. But I'm looking forward to a correction of the abuse that occurred in early June when 20-something programs without any process, in cases without any notice or even a conversation or an email exchange with the then general manager, were rather abruptly shoved into the overnight or into late night, including some of my favorite programs. I don't know whether you guys know, but I listen to WBAI radio in New York, and we are now carrying Arab Voices, which is a very fine program that Brother Saeed produces. So we have not, and there are serious deficits all around, but this was an avoidable deficit because we have a very strong Muslim and Arab community in New York, but we've not had any programming from those communities for some time, and he is now heard here Wednesday mornings at 10. But his is one of the programs that used to be on at, I think it was 6 your time on Wednesday evening, and, you know, suddenly he's in the overnight. So in terms of listening to his program for the local Arab community in Houston, I think that's a problem. But I think the entire process was so foul, and it does not matter to me what the intention of the person or persons who were engaged in that were. The effect was discriminatory, and that is how you judge an act, not on the person's intention, but on the effect. So the communities that were ridden over in a roughshod, non-consultative, non-collaborative manner, which is what the bylaws require. It's Article 7. Take a look on the work of local station boards. Those communities need to be made whole like yesterday. And it's unfortunate that the PNB was so weak that when the matter was brought to them, they failed to act and they allowed the disruption to happen and the disrespect to happen. And I urge this board to support and encourage your general manager to address those things immediately. It has nothing to do with, you know, the fact that the election is coming up and some of you will be leaving. That may be a good thing in some cases. But you're there now. Act now. Do now what you didn't do in June, right? Because it's some things are simply too late. But make the effort. Let's see what comes of it. Do the right thing. Actually practice what we preach.
Okay, yeah. Let's see if we can get Akua. I'm not sure how to pronounce her name.
It's Akua. Akua.
Thank you.
I'm here.
Okay, so you are here. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead and speak, please.
Okay, yes. Let me say this before I move on. The experience I had on my end, it was saying that you guys were muting me on your side. So it wasn't that I couldn't speak and I couldn't talk and my volume wasn't up. So maybe that was just a little glitch in the system, but that's what I experienced on my end. Just just so you'll know, which is why I couldn't. I kept typing in the chat, but once I hung up and came back, I was unmuted. So it was, you know, perhaps a little glitch in the system. But anyway, having said that, thank you again for allowing me in on this discussion, just to weigh in on some comments that I'm hearing out in the community. Thank you as a board for continuing to meet in this manner, as most boards are all over the country because of the pandemic. Many, many lives have been lost, and they're continuing to be lost here in our community in Houston. I don't know if you guys heard about Reverend Fana, who was a supporter of KPFT for many years and one of the founding members of the Shrine of the Black Madonna. He too has passed after being on a long trip in Africa. He took a group of his students from the University of Houston, came back here, and was dead 3 weeks later. Cause of death, I do not know. He didn't have any family members here, but his father, he survived by a 103-year-old father. So I'm saying that so you guys can know we've had people who have contributed to KPFT for a very, very long time and who have stayed with us throughout, all the, you know, turmoil that we've had over the years, you know, throughout the, lack of respect toward our community of colors, lack of respect towards, having our shows on the air at a decent hour so that we can be heard. There are people who have stayed with us. But now, with this recent hack that was done by Mr. Bays before he left, which was ill-advised, our communities are continuing to suffer. And if you just notice the 15,000 Haitian people at the bridge, that's one story. The fact that women cannot have abortions legally, that's another story. The other fact that voting rights have been gutted, and that Congresswoman Sheilyn Jackson Lee and Congressman Al Green have now had their districts redrawn because our Texas legislator decided we want to dilute the black vote. We want to dilute that vote. So there was a big meeting that was held today. They called the last minute public comment meeting. I don't know if you guys got that email or text. The state did, by the way. So we're having an assault on our voting rights. Where is Pacifica? I'll tell you where Pacifica is. Pacifica is not engaged with the issues of today. And I want to at least acknowledge our new manager. Thank you for coming to Houston. Thank you for being part of the Pacifica Network. Most of what I'm speaking of has happened prior to your arrival. And in order to go forward, we have to take an assessment as to where we are and look back as to where we've come. We have been disengaged from issues that impact the community for a number of years now. And then we continue to scream and whine about lack of membership and lack of money. We cannot expect to have a robust membership if we continue to put the focus on one thing over the other. I know there are some people on this board, they are hell-bent about having a certain kind of music on the air that the rodeo doesn't play. The rodeo brought in Cardi B. Now, I'm not into her music, but they brought her in because she makes money. And then they still have all the other acts that they can have. Our station has to be a station that understands and in both. We cannot survive on one type of anything, not one type of talk show, not one type of music, not one type of ideology. We're supposed to be a station that embraces people, that embrace people because of their differences, because they've been marginalized. But yet we have a station where the board itself has been marginalizing the community that we're supposed to serve. What's the remedy? The remedy is that we have to take a hard look at our finances so we can understand how we got to this point. Some of it has been poor management. Some of it has been poor oversight. But most of it has been the inability to address the needs of the community and the inability to include the voices of the community on our airwaves. I'll never forget when I first got back to KPFT after the first lawsuit, one of you folks sitting on the board right now looked me in the face and said, this will never be a black station. Mm-hmm. I got news for you. No one asked for it to be a black station. It is supposed to be a community station to include voices from everyone. And that is what we need to do. That's what we must do in order to survive. If not, then we need to have a whole new board with some deep pockets, because many of you have sat on the board for over a decade, and I cannot remember one robust fund drive effort except the thing that Dwayne Lark had and some others had at U of H with Ray Hill and raised a significant amount of money. Other than that, I've not heard any new ideas other than just a lot of bickering and fighting. But it doesn't look good for our community. It's not wholesome. It's not helpful. And going forward into next year, we need a different kind of perspective for our station that's more inclusive of voices that are diverse. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Okay. I'm looking. I don't see anyone else, Madam Chair. But Teresa's hand is still up from prior. Okay. Ms. Angela Sanchez.
I see a hand up for Ms. Angela Sanchez.
Okay, I see that. Thank you. Ms. Angela Sanchez.
Yes. Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Hi, yes. So I'm coming. My name is Angela Sanchez de Bravo. I am part of Houston Indie Media. I am one part of the collective producing with Courtney. We are Aconce, Black and Brown Unity Team that focuses on, you know, bringing to the airwaves the information in a unified way on issues that affect our communities of color. I just want to echo what many folks have said this tonight, but with a special focus on the idea of the station needing to reach out of the city, out of state, up north to DC to find, you know, programming about, you know, Mexican American communities, brown communities, native communities. We have those resources here, and those resources here have been pushed off FM, have been pushed off prime time. And right now, especially, like, for example, with Houston Indie Media, we have people that are living, that have lived and embedded themselves with local tribes here in Texas, South, Southwest. There are many tribes that for a myriad of reasons in many of the states here in the Southwest and really right here on our border right here are, you know, whether they're federally recognized or not, indigenous communities are alive and well here. And I will tell you this from firsthand, not just because we report on it, because I am also part of that community. And so when we talk about going outside of here for these resources to get this information out, that information is here. But again, those communities are here. They are alive and well. Indigenous people say the group that I'm part of is the organization, the educational organization that helped to finally have the city of Houston last year for the first time recognize Indigenous Peoples Day here in Houston. So that information is here. Those are the communities that we serve. And again, those voices and those producers are here right now and have been here, and they keep getting pushed off. And they are not being, we are not the only resource, because I know other programmers and I know the community. I know the wealth of community connections that so many of the public interest, you know, the BIPOC groups that produce for KPFT. I know the scope and the breadth and the depth of the connections they have in this community. And those resources are here. And again, we are not tapping those. So when we put images on the splash page of our website with Black and Brown people of all different shades, you know, but our programming, that's about the only place where we're seeing that amount of diversity, because those voices are not being accurately and equally focused on here. And those resources are already here. And I agree, no one thing is going to balance or save the station. But everything that so many people, and as Akua pointed out, people that have been on this board for a long time, that have come and gone, everything that has been done up until now is what is not working, because there has been not just a steady, but a marked decline in membership and in money. So whatever has been happening and going on is not working. So we have to make a big change. So I just ask that again, the conversations with our programmers, with community organizations, that those really be looked at in a comprehensive and in a regular way, because when we reach out only once in a while, it's a tokenized reach out, and community members know that, and community organizations know and feel that. And that's also why, you know, those organizations don't, that have followings, that have members, that's an added, we get an organization, you know, organizations that follow and support KPFT, their members come with it. So, you know, we have to be strategic.
1.5 minutes remaining.
Yep.
I just would say that I will come back every meeting and ask the same questions and make the same comments until, you know, we try to have a more comprehensive and, you know, and constant approach with the diverse community organizations, because they are going to be our path forward. Angela Sanchez, and I'm done speaking. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
We have a minimum of 30 minutes. If we can, public that want to speak, is anybody else that want to speak, we can allow that, right? Because our obligation is a minimum of 30 minutes.
And we've had a minimum of 30 minutes.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that we don't allow people. If we have public that want to talk, I don't know why we cannot. It's about time that you listen. We listen to our community.
But we do listen to them, Adriana. If there's anybody else that wants to speak that has not spoken, I'm fine with that.